It's time for us now to turn to God's Word for today. And as we do, let's invite the Spirit's presence through our prayer for illumination. Praying as one, God of Epiphany, we long to hear your holy word in fresh ways. Open our ears to the call of your voice. Open our eyes to the dawning of a new day. Fill us with anticipation for your future. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning comes to us from the gospel according to Mark chapter 1. We're going to read verses 4 through 11. And as we read together, listen for what the Word of God is saying to you in your lives, in your circumstances today, whatever they may be. Hear now the Word of the Lord. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: After me comes the one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Baptism. I don't have the font filled with water today. It's out of an irresistible urge for all of us to put our hands into the water as we normally would and contaminate each other with God knows what. Someday we're going to fill the font up again and we're going to baptize some folks. John, the baptizer, that's what he does. He baptizes. He's out in the wilderness, and people from all over the Judean countryside and all of Jerusalem are coming out to him to be baptized, which I think is pretty incredible. I've said this before, perhaps. But think about a city like Jerusalem, big city. Think about your own cities, your own towns. Imagine everyone from your town all gathering together and coming forward to hear someone speak or preach, and all coming to do the same thing, to believe the same thing, to have the same experience. Almost unheard of today, right? Because partisan politics are going to get thrown into the mix, or who knows what else, right? We're going to say, oh, John is one of those radicals out in the wilderness, or, you know, PETA comes out against the camel hair that he's wearing, or, you know, the locust lobby is angry about his food choice, right? Someone will inevitably ask, where's the beef? But John, what does he do? He speaks the truth. He speaks the truth and he invites others to come and participate in the truth as well. And what is the truth that he proclaims? He proclaims a truth of changed hearts and changed minds. The word translated here, repentance, in Greek is metanoia, which is literally a change in the mind, a change. See, repentance we often think of in sort of a negative sense, right? It's all about you know, confession or penance or thinking about all of the bad things or all of the wrong things. But what John is proclaiming is a change in the way that you see the world. A change from one thing into another. And he does that through this sort of ritual cleansing, which is not something new to the Jewish tradition. We find ritual cleansing throughout the Old Testament. It's just usually it's done in the privacy of one's home or set aside in a special place in the community, and it's a private thing. Ritual cleansing is often done by women after their menstrual cycle in order to be admitted back into the fellowship. Ritual cleansing is done by folks who have had some contagious skin disease or mildew or mold in their house. Ritual cleansing is usually a one-to-one encounter. There's a priest and there is the person, and it's done in private. But for John, this baptism, this ritual washing away of uncleanness, is done in public, in large groups, with a lot of people coming, almost as a proclamation by the person and by John in public so everyone can hear, I'm changing. My mind is changing. My heart is changing. My old life is being washed away and something new is coming in its place. And it's a powerful experience. And people from all over the Judean countryside and all of Jerusalem are coming because they want to experience this. They want to experience something new. The old thing wasn't working for them anymore. I feel like it's a message that we could sort of cling to today. Right? The events of this last week show how messed up things are. But it's not just this last week, it's been the entire summer and for perhaps hundreds or thousands of years before that. If we look back even at the Old Testament, we find that Israel as a people is never more blessed than when they allow God to fight their battles for them. They cry out to God when they're in slavery in Egypt, and God delivers them out by God's own hand. They don't have to raise a single weapon to defend themselves or fight their way out of Egypt. God does it for them. But when you look at the rest of the Old Testament, you find nothing but trouble for the people of Israel. And why? Because they take matters into their own hands. Because they reject God's way for their own way, for the ways of the other peoples living around them. They want a king. They want an army. They want to march to war just like everyone else. And the cycle of violence perpetuates itself. Even King David, who is the man after God's own heart, the greatest king that ever lived in all of Israel, his family is torn apart by violence against each other. His son Solomon, a peacetime king, if you will, but even then, putting people into slavery to increase the size of the kingdom, worshiping other gods, breaking the commandments. And it happens over and over and over again. The old ways are not working for Israel. They find themselves in slavery over and over and over again. And every time they try to fight their way out, they have peace for a small period of time until a bigger army comes along and really wipes them out. So along comes John, baptizing and inviting people into a different way. And he says to them, one is coming after me, who's greater than me. In fact, I'm not even worthy of untying this guy's sandals. I baptize you with water, washing you off, but you might go out and get dirty again. But when he comes, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And in other Gospels, we have a sense that the Holy Spirit is like fire, right? So while water washes things off, right? If you really want to sanitize something, if you really want to sterilize something, what do? You throw it in a 500-degree oven. That kills everything. And then it's really clean. It's super sanitized. And that's the idea, right? For John, it's water. But for Jesus, there's some heat. This change is something that's going to be permanent with Jesus. And then Jesus comes along. And he's baptized by John. Interesting. This public act, this public transformation, if you will, this public announcement of who Jesus is going to be. And as he comes out of the water, Mark tells us that the heavens are torn open. And a voice from heaven says to Jesus, you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Jesus' baptism is connected to our baptism. For one thing, when we baptize babies or adults, we do it in the context of public worship. I've had folks who are not connected to the church contact me at different times and say, would you baptize my child? Doesn't have to be a big thing, you know, a couple of family members there in the church sanctuary, you know, doesn't have to be a Sunday or anything like that. We don't want to inconvenience you. And I always say, of course. I would love to baptize your child. Come and check us out, because it's going to be done in public with everyone around, with your entire church family that you're going to get to know, that are going to make promises to you, and you're going to make promises to them. Because baptism is a public event. We hear the voice of God proclaiming, this child is one whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. And all of the community is there to bear witness to this. And to say, we remember our baptism. We remember the heavens being torn open for us. For the voice of God saying to us, you are my son, you are my daughter, you are my child, one whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. You bring me great joy and great delight, God says. And I want you to hear those words today. They come from Jesus. They come from God. And it's so important for us to find our rest and our wholeness in Jesus, to find our identity as the children of God through this voice of God. And why is it so important to hold on to that? Because if we forget God's voice, then we might go seeking love from some other source. But the reality is that there is no other source that's sufficient. We put our ultimate hope and our ultimate trust in, what, somebody that we voted for? some other human being that's fallen and can't possibly live up to our standards, can't possibly give us the love that we hope for? When our primary allegiances are not to God and not to that voice of God who proclaims his love for us, then it causes us to go down the path of bloody violence that so marred the people of God in the Old Testament. In this season of Epiphany, we see Jesus and we experience through the Gospels the stories of who Jesus is and what Jesus proclaims. And it's peace. And it's laying down weapons, speaking against the notion that as the Messiah, as the Son of God, he's there to lead the armies of Israel against their enemies, which is the idea they had. And as we will see over and over again, whenever Jesus does something in the Gospel of Mark, he turns around and says to the people, don't tell anyone about what just happened. And why not? Because he doesn't want to be the commander of the army. He's not there to be anyone's king, at least in the political sense. But he's wanting to change people's hearts and to change people's minds into going forward into a future that leaves the bloody violence in the past and instead seeks to tell the truth about who God is, about what the world is, and about how we finally come to a place of peace and salvation. Not by taking up arms, but by holding hands. Staying 6 feet apart, of course. That's what we are going to see in this season of Epiphany. And leading up to it, the season of Lent, and then into Easter, Jesus, who time and time again refuses to do physical battle against those who are persecuting him, arrest him, torture him, and kill him. Instead, from the Apostle Paul, he remains obedient to death, even death on a cross, and in so doing is exalted and given the greatest name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so, my friends, remember your baptism. Remember the voice of Jesus. You are my child. You are one whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Most holy God, we thank you for the gift of change. And that through our encounter with you and through our relationship with you, we don't have to remain the people that we were, but that you free us to faithful obedience and joy, leaving behind a violent past, anticipating a day when swords will be beaten into plows and spears into pruning hooks. The day of peace that you promise when you return. Lord, transform our hearts and our minds as a church and as a nation. that we might follow you as our God and our King. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand with me now as we affirm our faith through question and answer number 32 of the Heidelberg Catechism. People of God, what do we believe? I believe that I am called Christian because by faith I am a member of Christ, and so I share in his anointing. I am anointed to confess his name, to present myself to him as a living sacrifice of thanks, to strive with a good conscience against sin and the devil in this life, and afterward to reign with Christ over all creation for all eternity. Amen.